Well, this week I actually got a little quiz that I've got up. A Cardano specific quiz, but maybe I'll be able to change some of these questions over to Polygon ones as well. But if anyone's wanting to win a couple of these Pepe Blue Shift cross-chain Pepes that we have, all we have to do is participate in this quiz. And I might just send it over to you as well there, Spaceman, on Telegram, so you can see what I'm looking at here.
Sounds good. For as a just general question, is this quiz only open to those listening live, or is
Yep.
this something that?
Only
Okay.
those that are listening onto this X space at the moment.
But I'm guessing what we can say, and up to you to confirm, is to those that are listening to this later, you should join live because we might do this again.
Yeah, that's right. That is exactly right. Oh, here it is. How do I click the share on this? And I'll send it over to you. I do have to modify these a little bit, but that's okay. So this is a little old. Where are you? There you are. Now, we will wait until people come into the chat. So there's a few more people in, and I also haven't worked out the mechanic on how I'm going to get people to answer this. So I think to be able to be a part of this, you actually have to be on the call itself so you can actually jump on and answer it. Otherwise, there's no real other way of doing it. So I can see a couple of familiar faces come in down below. So if you want to be a part of this and with some of these Pepes, you actually got to jump on and be a speaker on the show as well. But Spaceman, you got a couple of these news items that you brought up for this week, which I thought was kind of interesting. Shall we go through these things before we get into this quiz?
Yeah, sure. Do you want me to just lead through it? I mean, not most people might have heard about them, but I just thought they were, some highlights.
Yeah, I think there's some good highlights here too. So I haven't been following on from a lot of this stuff. For the first one here, you've got the SBF lawyer punch back with two wins. Really? Or what happened here?
It's quite interesting. So they put on two. So I think you had the so at first the prosecution got to present the witnesses, right? And now the lawyers get the SBF's lawyers got to call back the witnesses they want to ask additional questions to. And one of them was his childhood friend or high school friend and the head of engineering who got a little tricky for the guy because he was. His testimony was seen as a very impactful one, and it was all about pointing at SBF as the ringleader. And everybody else was essentially just following orders. But while this guy was pointing his finger at SBF, essentially what the defense managed to kind of pull out and point out is that he, so he, like, for example, he was saying like that he knew that SBF was essentially pulling customer funds and stuff, and at the same time he was using the company himself to get like multi-million dollar loans in order to buy homes. So it's a bit like, well, you can't point your finger at SBF all the way and then say like, but actually you were completely benefiting off the bad, the harm that you knew you were doing. So that's the first kind of one where I think. It might serve SBF in terms of saying, well, the witness is incredible, like they were benefiting from this themselves. And the second one, which was thought was quite interesting, was the they got some, so they did some FBI agent did some like phone tracing of SBF's phone and managed to locate him in different places doing different deals and whatever. I think they were trying to show that he was like working with different branches of government through like so that they were trying to show like basically that he was highly involved with US politics. And the guy did his great presentation, and then the question that they asked was more or less like, can you prove that SBF was with his phone? And basically, he's like, well, no, I have no way. I have no way of proving that he was actually with his phone. And so that kind of killed that, like, the ability to use that. Yeah. So SBF wow. is fighting back. And also, his lawyers have asked for Adderall or something, because he supposedly needs a lot of Adderall, I think, to concentrate. Like, he claims he has ADHD, but I think he like takes like 10 times the dose of an ADHD, like a normal ADHD dose, I think. So I guess that's why he might seem super sharp in some interviews, because he's on it.
Interesting. That is really interesting. But he's got some damn good lawyers there.
Yeah. It's I think he or hopefully the people around him can afford them.
What's the goal of this? Is it to lay blame on the entire team, or just him, or take away some of the blame on him? Like, is what's the defense trying to do?
I think at this point, they'll tell you probably that they're trying to point, you know, he's completely innocent, and there was actually people in the background. The example, head of engineering, what's the girl's name? The head of their investment vehicle. They're probably going to try and defend and say, actually, it was those people all along, and SBF didn't know that this was going on. But realistically, they're probably just trying to spread the blame.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can't see, being in total denial or not knowing what's going on is possible, at this kind of level, this amount of money. I really think it's, trying to spread the blame out and to diminish his sentence, which is like 130 years or something. It's insane.
Yeah. But I think it's the way I like to see it is, like, it's American law, right? Like, anything can happen. So it'll be quite interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, all right. Okay, this other news item that you brought up, this is pretty cool. And, everyone's complaining about how much energy it takes to mine Bitcoin. And, Ethereum went proof of stake because of, the amount of energy it was using to mine Ethereum, ETH. And this one is Saz mining Bitcoin at, I don't know how to pronounce this, Itaipu Dam, 100% yeah. renewable.
Yeah, so Itaipu Dam is, to my understanding, the number one asset in this world in terms of from how much it costs to build. It's at the border of Brazil and Paraguay. And basically now this Bitcoin mining company has kind of struck a deal, and they're installing their Bitcoin miners there. And so they'll be using the overproduced energy will go to mining Bitcoin.
The excess energy they have.
Excess, there you go. So it's a win-win. The dam gets to make a bit of money. Bitcoin gets, SAS mining gets to mine Bitcoin for probably a discount rate. Plus, they're right next to the, being right next to the dam generally helps. They're doing it in 100% renewable way, which is pretty cool.
Okay. It's good that it's the excess energy that's not needed on the grid. That's one of the things that really got me with proof of work chains. It's like they're using all this energy, but that energy could be used to produce other goods and services. Why is it being taken away and using mining Bitcoin? I know the whole idea of financial freedom and all that, whatnot for mining Bitcoin, and there's a use case and people argue it like to the nth degree, but to only use the excess and available excess available energy, I think that's a better approach to it all.
Yeah, now I don't know. What I'd like to see is like the details of it. Does it mean like, is there always excess and they've just calculated that they can, have, I don't know, 10 Bitcoin miners running on the excess? Or is it like they'll be shutting down miners and starting them again and stuff? And like, that's kind of like my the thing which I haven't been able to answer.
Interesting. Have you ever mined yourself any cryptocurrencies?
Yes, I actually did. And back in the day, I actually have somewhere, and I should actually do something with it. But now, where I live, there's like no point in the cost of electricity. There's no point in connecting it. Yeah, I used to mine a bit of Ethereum and then some, in the 2018 craze where it was like, you can mine these tokens and mine these tokens. So I was doing a bit of kind of random mining of tokens.
Yeah, pretty much the same. I had my PC with a graphics card in there mining ETH for a while. I don't think I ever managed to mine an entire ETH. I managed to maybe like 0.4 of an ETH. I never managed to get all the way. And the amount of time and power that I used to mine that was not worth it. The wear and tear on that video card, the amount of dust and that card burnt out as well. So it was not worth it for me.
No, I just remember having a friend in like 2008, 2009 telling me, I was like, what are you doing? He was like, oh, I'm mining Bitcoin. And I was like, well, whatever, dude. And then a couple years later, I heard that this guy is basically like changing the country in which he's living in order to like not need to pay certain taxes on the Bitcoin, on his Bitcoin, and that he's retiring. I was like, oh, I should have listened a
Fair
little closer that
enough.
day.
This crazy thing, yeah, whatever. So, all right, okay. I missed out on that one. We all have those kind of stories. Now, a couple of updates from the project itself, a couple of updates from BlueShift. I know we've got our mods, Dom and Daniel on here, as well as Manny. And there have been a lot of questions in regards to the reward distribution from the Wrap Smart Contract campaign. And now people are trying to do stuff with their tokens, but they're having some issues. So I have been talking to Igor and I've been running into these issues as well. So I'm trying to debug them myself and work them out in the background. And I've worked out a couple of things and worked out through a couple of the processes. I haven't done the videos and documentation on them yet. But this is it. So some people were distributed the reward tokens, the Cardano Index LP tokens, to their Cardano address. Because if you did it from the Cardano side and you used wrapped smart contracts through there, the liquidity pool tokens would be airdropped to your Cardano address. And the people, when they are going to the DEX itself now and trying to farm those LP tokens, it doesn't come up. So I think one of our users in Discord, what was his name? I can't remember now. It's somewhere in there. Hang on general chat. I'll just give him a shout out while I'm here. Lentini. So with Lentini, I believe that's the issue and why it's not coming up. And to solve this, you need to bridge your LP tokens back to Milcometer and then use an EVM address to hit it up and put it back into the farm. There isn't native farming on for wallets at the moment, so that's not working. That's why you can't see it appear on the DEX. So Daniel, Dominic, if anyone asks, that is the reason you need to bridge it over from Cardano to Milcometer to be able to do it. So switch the DEX over from Cardano to Milcometer C1, and then click on the bridge. Then connect the Cardano wallet, EVM wallet, and then you'll be able to bridge over and farm from there. Were you lucky enough to get any of the rewards from that Wrap Smart Contract campaign, Spaceman?
I didn't take part.
Oh, you missed out.
Yeah, I wanted to, but I just ran out of time. Only so many hours in a day.
Yeah, I know what it's like. I know what it's like. But yeah, there are some happy people in the Discord server and Telegram channels. So yeah, congrats to those people. I didn't take part. I just got airdropped a little bit of tokens just for testing. So I'm just working through it now. So I can solve all these issues for the community and explain exactly how to farm from here.
I was going to say it might be useful once that's nicely like polished. It might be worth putting it as a blog article or something, just to have it documented.
Yeah, most definitely. So once I do the video, I'll do the documentation for it as well. But you know, next week it may change. So you know, this week this is the workaround for now. But hopefully it isn't forever. Now, the other thing that we have been working on is more connectivity with additional wallets. So we put the announcement out, I think, about 12 or so hours ago. We've integrated NuFi onto the Cardano side. So NuFi you can use now for wrap smart contracts on the DEX. Gives users just that little bit more options in regards to connectivity to the DEX itself. So that's a nice addition. NuFi have always been quite active with our community as well. And I believe I've booked in Ben next week for our community call. So he'll be joining us to talk about NuFi, the roadmap, what else they're building on the wallet itself. And they're doing a lot of video tutorials for BlueShift too. So users will be able to see what it's like from their video documentation on their side. So looking forward to seeing that and having Ben on next week. So I'll confirm that and put the announcements out early next week to make sure he's coming on. All right. Now, just to remind people, I do have this little quiz that's coming up soon. So if you do want to be a part of it, we've got some of these Pepes to give away. You do need to come up as a speaker. I think that's the only way to do it. So I'm going to ask a couple of questions here. And based off these questions, first person to answer them right, I'll just give away Pepe to that person. You got to raise your hand or something so I can see. And the first one that I see that comes up, I'll ask the question and then you'll be able to win a Pepe. Now, I'm just going to throw in a random question here. This is one of the questions. I like this one. I did this in the quiz quite a while ago. Now, one of the wallets in the Cardano ecosystem is called Yoroi. What does Yoroi mean? Now, I know everyone's just going to Google that, but that's one of the questions and the type of questions I will be asking. If you want to leave a comment down below in the X space here and answer that one, not many people know, but Yoroi was named after something, and what does it mean? Leave a comment. There's a little comment box in the bottom right-hand corner. Leave a comment there, and you'll be able to answer these questions later on. Is that you, Rand, there, giving us the hearts? All right, we've got some people requesting speakers, so I'm just going to pull you guys up. Also, just remind people, I'm going to stop on the top of the hour as well. I am sick, so I do need to recover from this. And while we get more people up and we get this quiz warmed up, I'll probably ask about 5 questions in the quiz. But Spaceman, you got a couple more news items here, just another 2. The next one here, Bitcoin ETF. This was funny.
Yeah. When was it? On Monday? Did anybody buy on Monday when Cointelegraph basically shared some beautiful piece of fake news to their whole community of followers?
I can't believe it. I actually bought some just as my weekly DCA, and I wish I put in you know, an alert or something so I could sell it when it peaked.
Yeah, it was really, it's just, it shows you once again, like, in crypto, anything can happen, and how much we're like susceptible to news. They clearly wanted to be the first ones, and you know, checking the news or checking the validity of the source came as a number 2 to getting the first one out there with news.
What was the source? I read somewhere that someone in their Telegram group where they saw some information just blurted it out, and they just went with it.
So I think I saw a screenshot of that. Yeah, so they have a whole article on it, clarification on sharing false spot Bitcoin ETF news. And yeah, they have screenshots of their team, of like the other Telegram and stuff like this. And the account was deleted. Somebody must have done a great... I hope that guy had a highly leveraged position and was able to make out with a good amount of money. So.
That is a really interesting way of doing it. Getting in on the inside that someone could spread a rumor that quickly, that fast, get in on Cointelegraph and start the rumor inside. Crazy. Okay.
Yeah, now, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it worked. Maybe it really did work.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, yeah, it worked. Like, all you need is that one time, right? And if you're willing to take the bet and put a lot of money in it and with a lot of, like, leverage, you can do good.
Crazy, crazy, crazy. Tara, you've got your hand up. You came up as speaker. You got something to say, or are you answering that Yoroi question?
Actually, one of my trips to Japan, I bought a Yoroi and transported it back. It was quite a pain in the butt. So I have it in my art studio. It's such a beautiful piece of art, I guess you would say. But yeah, it's a beautiful samurai armor.
That is really cool that you have samurai armor in your home. That's amazing.
I used to train like classical martial arts, and we would wear it in training, which was actually incredible. Also, very interesting thing to do martial arts in. It's quite heavy, and but also I wanted to say it was really interesting because I I got involved in Blue Shift like when you guys first started. I don't even know how old you guys are, a year or maybe even more. So I haven't checked my account in quite a while. And this morning I was going on there and I was like, you know what? Like, I have a small project and I'm more involved in the DGen community. And nobody, when I talked about Milk Omeda and Blue Shift, nobody really knew what I was talking about, which was really interesting. So I thought, oh, maybe I could, because we hold a weekly space. I was like, oh, I should invite Blue Shift and, you know, we can talk about, you know, the indexing and how they all do that. And then I saw you were having a space. I was like, oh, that's fucking crazy. I'll come up.
Let's do it. Yeah. Let's go over the space.
Yeah, I'll send you a DM and maybe we can schedule something and get these DGens involved.
Yeah, that'd be cool. But see, one of the main issues that we have is that you know, there was a big hype and talk about Milkometer about a year and a half ago when we launched on it. But then since then, Milkometer just been building and, you know, doing all these cool things, but the ecosystem hasn't grown around it. It's not until now we've just seen two other projects, prominent projects that could help grow Milkometer itself, and that one being Tangle Swap from IOTA, which is crazy. So a project from IOTA is looking for additional EVM chains and decided Milkometer was the one they're going to launch with, and they're bringing in a massive user base over as well. So that's going to look really interesting. And then Fluid Token just launched their version on EVM as well. So they're looking at building up their community on the EVM side of things. So two really decent projects that are coming on board too.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. And I didn't even know, like, because I didn't even know that you guys were actually on the layer one also. So I just saw that right now because I heard you talking about it, people farming on the layer one. So I was like, oh, shit, they're on the layer one also. So I'll have to take a look and I'll schedule something with you guys and we can talk about it a bit.
All right, we've got to work on our marketing there. So the whole Wrap Smart Contract campaign, that's the integration between like Cardano Native and Milkometer to make native Cardano wallet work. So we'll get onto some more spaces in the DGen space and we'll talk about it.
For sure.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Tara. And thanks for sharing the that little bit of trivia with your Yoroi as well. All right, Spaceman, you've got one more use item here, and I have no idea what this is. Larry Fink, CEO of BlackRock. What's going on here?
Yeah, no, I mean, this is more just like, you know, as a CEO, he'll go on TV and stuff. And he recently, so Larry Fink is the CEO of BlackRock. BlackRock is the biggest, basically, asset management company in the world. There's a lot of zeros behind the amount of money they manage. And basically, he was talking about what's going on right now in in the Middle East, and how what that can create is that because of the instability there, people are looking, you know, they don't want to invest in local currency. And so they'll be looking for other options. And what he said is basically that he mentioned a lot of options, and crypto was one of them. He mentioned it as a flight to quality, which is quite interesting coming from the CEO of BlackRock. And I mean, it's kind of in line with what they're trying to do with the ETFs and stuff like this, but it's so clearly there is some willingness there from that market. And also what I read today is that if the ETFs are approved, then it could lead to an influx of $1 trillion into the market, the crypto market. So that's also pretty interesting.
Yeah, I did see that video clip. I had no idea who was talking about it, but I totally agree. People look for safer havens to move cash and assets over, and crypto is one that people are looking at again. If that ETF comes in, I'm expecting a really big bull run next year. So I can't wait myself. With all this like really cool, innovative DeFi coming out on Cardano as well, I am super bullish in general. So I seriously can't wait.
Yeah, now it's, I mean, it's been a waiting game for the last couple of years, right? It's ever since 2021, and then it's been kind of like, okay, when's the next move up here?
Yeah, and we saw like that blip that we got when, you know, Cointelegraph accidentally leak out a rumor. You know, if we see the market spike that much on a rumor of an ETF, imagine what will happen when the ETF actually does launch properly. You know, it's going to skyrocket even further than that, for sure.
Yeah, I do. It's interesting, right? Like
this space was downloaded via spacesdown.com. Visit to download your spaces today.
Because I wonder now also whether because of this leak news, basically people will take positions in order to, and actually instead of, and that will lessen the impact of the of like a price hike when the news goes.
Maybe as well, maybe. But you know, lessening the impact is probably a good thing, so we don't see that massive spike. We see just a steady growth until it actually happens. Maybe, I don't know.
True. I know that the SEC is reviewing a couple of ETFs this week, but then that can lead again to them just pushing back and saying that. Nah. And then it gives them, I think, the next deadline is in 2024 or something.
Right. Okay. I see. So maybe not then. Maybe, be optimistic, maybe positive, but maybe it might not happen.
So yeah, like prepare your longs, but also prepare your shorts.
Okay.
That's my recommendation.
Yep. Gotcha. All right. That's all the news items that we have for this week. And thanks for compiling that as well. It's pretty good to get all that on board too. Get up to date with everything that's happening in the space.
If only that was everything.
Oh, there's so much more. There's always some sort of drama. Now, we do have this quiz that we have in place here. And Tara, I might just give you one of the Pepe NFTs. So do make sure you do GM me or on the Blue Shift account, and DM me your address or your ADA handle, and I'll send you one of those Blue Shift Pepes.
Ooh, now, just Tara, as a tip, after you should stake it. I staked mine last week, and I'm at 2.8 blues in rewards, 2.8 retirement. Here I come.
I can stake on the Blue Shift Cardano network. Is that how it's going to work?
No, you can. We've partnered up with Techmirio, so you can stake it on their platform. Yeah, they can actually take on any NFT. They'll take any NFT and stake it. But it's non-custodial, so the NFT never leaves your wallet. They just scan what's in your wallet, and they do the calculations based off that. But they've set up something special just for the Pepes, so that way you can earn some more Blues tokens.
Okay, I'll check it out for sure.
Yeah, I think I did an article or a video or something. I don't know. I do so many of these.
Thank you.
All right. Now, if anyone else wants to answer some of these questions, you got to jump up on stage to be able to answer them. But this is, I'm going to warm up with a couple of really easy ones here for you guys. All right. Cardano, we've got staking and we've got this thing called epochs. How many days in one epoch? Come on, who's coming up to answer this one? Ah, Quasar. Here we go. Connecting. There you go, Quasar, you're up.
I didn't hear what the question was. All I heard was, if you want to answer, you have to come up. So I came up and I missed everything until you said Quasar.
Oh, I hate that. Yeah.
I was like, I should have turned on captions before. It's not my first day.
All right. Question was, how many days in an epoch?
That would be 5 days.
5 days it is. Nice, quick, easy answers here. Quasar, give me your address, DM the Blue Shift account, and I'll send you over a Pepe.
Awesome. Thank you.
And you can stake that and earn some blues.
Oh, I'm already staked with Techmirio. So, yeah.
Oh,
absolutely. Oh,
connect your wallet again and make sure it's scanned in. Great.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to ask a harder one here. This is kind of a trick question for people. But I need some more people coming up. I can't just give you guys all the Pepes.
I would love to play, but you already sent me all the answers. So.
Did you want to pick one?
I can come up with other accounts if you'd like. and I cannot send the message to the Blue Shift account.
Oh, you can't?
I don't think I have permissions known as the blue check mark.
Oh, right. Well, I just followed you back, so you should be able to now, I think.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. There we go. I'll just check. Do the follow back as well. Make sure that's all good. There we go.
Awesome.
Spaceman, did you want to ask one of the questions?
Yeah, sure. So I'll ask one, which is, I'm a developer. So what is Cardano's smart contract language Plutus based on?
Who's supposed to answer that?
I think somebody needs to raise their hand.
Okay, great.
Pete, that I let you manage.
Hey, what was that? Sorry, I couldn't hear.
The selecting of who gets to answer that.
Well, I think people got to put their hands up, but you guys both got a Pepe already, but no one else is coming up, so I'll let you guys answer it.
I don't know that answer, so I'll let Quasar answer.
Okay, so I'm going to give the wrong answer first, and then I'm going to see if you'll re-answer the or ask the question again. What is it based on? It's based on some notes that we're taking on a napkin. remember the Pluto napkin, the famous napkin? Here's Plutus, guys. Here's the core of Cardano code.
I actually didn't know that.
I've never heard that story before.
Okay. Yeah, let me find it. And what was the question? It was what's Plutus based on?
Yeah, that's right.
I know, but I don't know.
It's Haskell.
Oh yeah, see, I was willing to say Haskell, but
yeah. But now we've got so many different domain-specific languages out there. You know, everyone's using Aiken these days because of the optimizations, the speed improvements, and the ease of development thanks to the team at TXPipe and whatnot that put that together and made developing on Cardano so much easier. So if you're interested in that development side of things, do check that out. I did a tutorial, a Hello World tutorial, and actually managed to get some code working. So if I can do it, anyone can. Maybe. All right. I'm going to ask one of these questions here. I can see Daniel come up. You can answer this one, Daniel, if you know it. Or actually, maybe that one's too hard. No, I'm going to answer. Ask it anyway. Okay. This is kind of a trick question because this is might be changing real soon. What is the minimum fixed fee that is set by the stake pool protocol? So this is the minimum pool cost. I need some sound effects here. Oh, I do have a soundboard. I don't know what sound to put for this, though. Yeah, that would do. No one knows this one. Or maybe I'm asking it incorrectly.
Well, actually, I wanted to answer the question initially asked by Spaceman. Well, maybe I try to answer your question, Pete.
Yeah, go for it.
So you can ask the question again, so I'm certain with my answer.
What is the minimum fixed fee that is set by a stake pool protocol?
On Cardano.
Yes. So this is when you stake to a stake pool, there's a fixed fee that is set. What is that fee?
Yeah, so I know of two different kind of fees, which will be like the delegation fee and the fixed fee by the stake pool operator.
Yep.
So the initial fees, I think, used to be around maybe two ADA DARPA. The fixed fee, maybe around 300 upwards. 300.
Oh, you're close.
Maybe not more than 350, I think, but between 300 and 350.
You are really close.
So, I don't think I can give an exact figure to this, but I think it's in this range, 300 to 350.
Well, you're correct there. If I could give you half a Pepe, I could. I would, but I can't. The correct answer.
Maybe if you give me options, it will make it easier.
Okay, less than 350.
Yeah, so I know it's between 300 and 350. So maybe you can give me like maybe three or four options, and I can pick one.
Oh, it's either 310, 320, 330, or 340.
330.
Incorrect. No.
Okay.
No, I'm going to move on from this one. It's 340 ADA. That's the min pool cost at the moment. 340. Wow. I try to lead you in there. I gave you that one at the end, but you know, that's okay. Now the this is changing as well. So a message came out from the Cardano Foundation today, or last night. A submission has been put through. A change request has been put through on pre-prod and preview networks. And the min pool cost is officially changing to 170 ADA for all stake pools. And then that would be rolled out on mainnet. I think the date was the 27th of this month. So stake pools now have the option of dropping their minimum fixed fee to 170 ADA, potentially giving users or smaller stake pool operators will potentially be able to give their delegates a slightly more margin in their return for staking. Larger stake pools, I don't think will have much of an effect at all, but those smaller stake pools out there that are trying to compete will have an option now to try and change that. I know there's a lot of opinions out there. I know, Santo, you commented on my post this morning about that as well. If you want to jump up and talk about this, and I know there's been a lot of debate over the last year about this and, you know, what needs to be changed, how it can be changed, but we can't simply change all these variables all at the same time and change how delegation and whatnot is affected across the whole ecosystem. If we do that, it's going to have some big ramifications, and slow, small steps, I think, is the best approach. And changing this minimum pool cost is something that we can change back because people can either not change their min fee or change it if they like, or change it back at any point in time, and it doesn't have a major effect. Whereas changing the K parameter will have a major effect because massive amounts of delegation has to move around. That's the end of my rant there. Tech Mary, you're requesting speaker there, so I'm just going to add you up. All right. And now while Tech Mary comes up, I'm going to find another question here so I can ask. On something interesting. All right, this one's a little bit different because it's an Ethereum question. What's Ethereum's smart contract language called? We're all in the Cardano space. Yep, go on.
AP, it's not going to be fair because I'm going to be able to answer all these questions. So somebody else go.
Anyone in that's not on stage want to answer that as well? Just raise your hand and I'll pull you up.
I think so far that would be the only question I would have been able to answer without the actual answers in front of me.
Yeah, I thought you had the answers in front of you. Quasar, you got your hand up.
I can answer that if we'd like to.
Go on.
If that's... it is Solidity.
Correct.
And their second programming language is Viper, if I'm not mistaken. Santo, could you confirm that?
No, I can't. I didn't know they had a second programming language.
Yeah, I think they do. I'll find that as well while I'm looking for this old napkin with Clueless notes.
It is. I had a quick check, and Viper is. There's a lot of comparison blogs between Solidity and Viper.
Viper is Pythonic.
Very interesting. Cool. I learned something new myself as well. Thank you, Quasar. Yeah.
Some news for me too.
All right. Let's see. I'm just trying to find another one here.
We can talk about the min pool fee if you want.
Exactly.
It's a big
opinions.
Big controversial topic for sure.
How do you feel about it, Santo? Or Chris, sorry.
It's not going to work. I mean, I just, you know, everybody thinks it's going to help small pools so they can compete, but there's, it, that isn't what, how do I say this, politically correct. I don't think I can. Just like you, Pete, you're the people who stake to your pool and the people who stake to my pool, they follow me. They don't care about the fees. That's my opinion. They don't care. Because it's not enough, right? Think about it for a second, right? I mean, 3%, 4% APY. I mean, they just want to stake to a good pool and somebody they can trust. So I don't think it's going to make any difference. But we'll see.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I know a lot of people stake to my pool purely because they know me and they're trying to support what I'm doing. And you can see that with the number of people. Usually, I think I'm at about like 6,100 unique wallets or something like that, which is kind of crazy, really. But yeah, that's a lot of support. And I really don't, I don't think changing the mix fin, I've heard this on many calls with the Cardano Foundation, changing the mixed, the min pool cost is just the first step. And it's something that could easily be done. Like no pool parameters have been changed for over what, two and whatever years. So this is the first like a major mix up and first of many. So I think after this, there'll be, what do they call it? Protocol improvement proposals, PIPs, put in place to change these parameters after that. So it'll work very much in a similar fashion as a Cardano improvement proposal, but these PIPs will be the process for improving things later.
Yeah, well, we could talk about what it actually costs to run a stake pool. I think a lot of, I get these questions all the time.
Yeah, the time. Yeah. How much is it costing you?
Yeah, okay, I'll tell you in a second. And then they want to know how much can you make? And I basically say, well, nothing. Can't make it. You can't make anything right now because ADA price is too low. You can't make anything. Yep. So I have one block producer server and three relays. Actually I have four relays. One's hidden and three are public. I have three relays, one in Singapore, one in the UK, one in the United States. My block producer is in the United States. They're all in the cloud. I don't go with the tier one cloud providers, so I don't go with Amazon or Google or Microsoft or any of those guys. I go with a middle tier that I'm really happy with. I've been using them for quite a while. They have seven data centers across the world, and so I can move my servers around anytime I want. And I'm paying for a 32 gig server. I'm paying $16 a month each. So 16 times 5, we'll call it 20. 20 times 5 is $100. Is that right? Yeah, $100 a month. But that's not the real cost. In my opinion, the real cost is my time.
Well, first off, you've got that cost a lot lower than what I have. I'm paying $80. A month per server. So I've got block producer, four relays distributed around the world, plus any of these other like relay batching programs that I'm part of. So I'm paying $80 each. So at the moment, like minimum, my monthly fees are $400 a month. It adds up.
Yeah, it's a lot. And then I have two stake pools on both test nets also that I don't make any money on.
Yeah.
So that's four more servers there. now I'm using one of them for Tecmerio for our backend database stuff, and for our reward wallet. But then, how much does it cost to get delegates? It's 80% of your cost is in your marketing.
I'd say, what's that, 99% maybe?
Exactly. So what does it cost, and that's what it costs, and most people don't know how much it costs to do marketing. That's a whole nother thing. They think they can just set up a pool and people will come and stay. No, not going to happen. You got to build a brand, got to build a name, got to get your name out there. You got to advertise. You got to,
You got to become an authority figure in the space. That was my approach. Yep. I think it worked.
Oh, you
authority. That sounds menacing.
Yeah, it does kind of sound a little bit menacing.
I perceive you more as a KOL, like a key opinion leader.
Oh, okay.
like <that. laughs> there you go. maybe you change your your subtitle there. Authoritarian leader to key opinion leader.
Yeah, I like that. I haven't heard people refer to it as that. So yeah, that's I like that KOL. But yeah, the state pool game is pure marketing. If you can get yourself out there and really well known, it's people delegate to you. You do good work in the community, the ecosystem. Like I can't remember, it was Able Pool. It was struggling with delegation. It does so much for the ecosystem in terms of development, but just couldn't get the delegation until people started chiming in and talking about it, and then managed to get, $2 or $3 million in delegation, just enough to continuously mint blocks. But that's like a tiny in comparison. Yeah, Quasar, you got your hand up.
When you have a chance, Pete, send me your pool details.
Yeah, sure. We'll do. Quasar.
Do you think the multi-delegation will have, what kind of impact do you think that will have on the network?
That one's hard too, because you got to educate people about it. So what Atrium are doing, I think it's good. I think what Lace has done with their multi-state pool delegation, I think that's a really cool thing too. But a lot of the people that came in during 2021, 2022 are delegating still with Yoroi and Daedalus. I did a survey the other day on my YouTube channel saying, I was going to do some wallet tutorials. What wallets are you using out there? Daedalus, Yoroi. It's like, oh, come on. They're the two I didn't want to do tutorials on. And they were the ones that were voted on the most.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and if people are using Daedalus, they're not in DeFi. If they're using Yoroi, not every deck supports it. Again, they're not in DeFi.
Yeah, sorry, I'm just interrupting. I have to run, but thanks for having me on, and I look forward to chatting with you next week.
Yeah. Thanks, Spaceman. Thanks for being here. I do have to wrap up very soon as well. I'm getting quite tired. I can feel it. And I need to recover from this potential cold I'm catching too. But Quasar, sorry, I cut you off a little bit there.
No. I tried to interrupt you, so I apologize there. I think a strength of the multi-delegation could be advantageous to stake pool operators to create a group of, 3, 5, or 7 people that want to kind of co-brand or co-market, because the marketing is hard and there's a lot of competition for it. And there's a lot of education that needs to go into it. So, if, you know, if there's stateful operators that don't like the marketing that are doing something else, if they can partner with another stateful operator to spread the word about, you know, multi-delegation and why it's important and what the impact and benefit it is, I see it as a strength.
Yeah, I hopefully that does work. And, you know, people can start grouping together and get people delegating for a particular thing. You know, support decentralization, support small stateful operators, support the developers in the ecosystem, whatever it is. Like, hopefully it does work. It has some sort of impact overall.
Yeah. So, I mean, like with Game Changer, we can actually create something along those lines of, you know, it's almost like Atrium without the smart contract. You know, you can.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely. We can do up to, I did 10 pools yesterday, which I'm about to kind of offer, you know, like market it. But really, you can do 3, 5, and you get to allocate whatever amount of your ADA to each different address, so it's not split evenly like Lace is.
Have you had Game Changer on your show, Pete?
No, I haven't, and I don't know why.
Yeah, so I can give you a summary of what it is. I mean, Quasar will do it differently, but my summary is it's basically it's really a development environment. What it is. Because what he's done is he's built his own file system that he can put right on the blockchain. So you can have, you know, files, and then you can create apps that access the files, but it's all on chain. And it's just all, you know, so it's not a, you know, it doesn't really follow the standards of the way we're doing wallets today, but that doesn't mean it doesn't work. It's just a different way of doing it, right? So it's a whole integrated development environment is what it is. It's 90.
So who's the target market for this wallet then?
Yeah, it's a good question. Quasar's probably struggling with that one a little bit.
exactly right. Yeah, I would love to do a workshop on this many times. Really, there's three target markets. I'm only going to go with two at the time right now. Easy, quick onboarding. It is a web wallet, so it's literally a one-click wallet, and it creates a burner wallet. So you know, quick on the use, on the go. It is for that onboarding experience. Yet at the same time, it is a full-blown, I've been calling it a Cardano command center, where, you know, you can actually, instead of it having the SIP30 DAP connector, it is actually a DAP as well. So you can actually connect all of your browser extension wallets into Game Changer without importing them to Game Changer, right, which is very weird. Cool.
Really Inception-ish.
Believe me, testing three wallets, three different browsers with the extensions, it gets really, Inception-y.
I'll give you a WAPU, one of my Katana Press WAPU, so you can book in an interview session with me. And then take me through an education process. It has to be educational for people. I've changed how I do interviews. You teach me something and teach the audience something. That's a goal.
Wonderful. Wow. Thank you. We can do that for sure.
Yeah. I'll just make sure I'm. I got you on the Blue Shift account too. All right.
Rock and roll.
All right, guys, I'm going to wrap it up here. I do need to get my beauty sleep and recover from this cold. I'm supposed to wake up for 5 a.m. Twitter space as well with DropSpot, but I don't think that's going to happen. Not with how I am at the moment. But if you are awake at that time, whatever that works out to be in UTC, right now it's 5 hours from now, you can join in on that mega drop space with DropSpot. But this here is BlueShift's regular weekly community call. We go through everything that's happening in the BlueShift ecosystem, all the updates, developments, troubleshooting issues. And now we're going to do some little quizzes and stuff to teach people about what's happening in Cardano in general, but then also other ecosystems that we're tapping into, such as Polygon, Carver, and Algorand A1. So awesome to have you all here. And hopefully catch you all next week as well. So see you, everyone.